up to the boys. Fox and Shane, set your minds free, no locks and chains. Do what you love, roll the dice. 50-50, we cold as ice. One thing cold, but the penny turn red. Hey, deck, yeah. Game in my head, war gaming.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to Hobby Homies. We are your weekly tabletop podcast. I'm Shane, hanging out with the not-so-crippled Fox.
Hey, thanks, man.
That's all right, dude. And, of course, we've got Churchy.
In the void.
So I see that you've self-removed your cast.
Yes, I've removed my entire leg, and with it went the cast.
Oh, it's how you got to do it sometimes.
Survival, dude.
That's it.
You get chewed, your foot caught
you chewed
in the
your leg off.
I did. I didn't have to. I could have used a sharp blade,
what's
but
that
I chose
movie?
Teeth.
127 hours?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either. I just know of it.
Oh, sure.
The guy chews his arm off.
Is it James Franco?
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't think he chews it off. I think he uses like a spoon or something.
He spoons his arm off.
It's probably more brutal than chewing your arm off.
He spoons his arm off.
Yep.
I don't think you know anything about
it. It was like a metal ruler or maybe
it's different every time.
Maybe it was like a protractor.
So it's gone from
he gets stuck in a rock.
Yeah, he's like rock climbing and he gets stuck in a rock and he...
Spoilers.
I don't know. He might have...
How long did it take him?
Spoiler, he loses the
127
arm.
Hours. Did it take him 127 hours to actually do it or to work up
stuck?
The courage?
Yeah. It would take me about 1,000 hours to work up the courage
so
to do that.
So you die of thirst and hunger before
hurting myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather die. I would rather die.
You would rather die?
I would rather die. I'd be like the guy, oh, so sad. Fox got his leg stuck in a rock and he died.
And he died.
Yeah. Couldn't he have just like cut his leg off?
You wouldn't want to like come in on crutches or like in some like motorized chair and be like, that's the guy that got his leg stuck in there and he chewed it off like an animal.
As someone who had a cast for about 2 weeks, I could say I'd rather die. Okay. That was annoying enough.
Yeah.
The fact that I would have to do it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
No thanks.
You
obviously
have a cast,
that's
though.
Huh?
You wouldn't have a cast on for the rest of your life because you wouldn't have a leg.
That's true. I guess that's a perk.
Exactly.
I have less casts than I have now. Although, currently, I cut my own cast off.
Yeah.
I did use a hacksaw, so I guess I felt like that guy.
A hacksaw?
Yeah, well, like, I don't know. I hacked it with a saw.
Okay.
We were away camping. Not camping. We were at an Airbnb. near a beach. Near a beach. I get confused because I thought we were going to go camping for so long until like the week off.
Yeah, we were camping in like a 6-bedroom house. Yeah, so it's like a spa.
In Melbourne, 6th floor, overlooking the bay.
Basically camping.
Basically camping. Yeah, I didn't have a shower, so it was basically camping.
Yep.
Anyway, we went to the beach and like the cast got all like soggy and wet and sandy.
That's the beach
is
known
that's
for.
Why Anakin hates it.
Hates sand.
Yeah, because he obviously
gets everywhere.
Yeah, it's so coarse as well. Anyways,
what a nerd.
What a nerd.
Anyway, so use that hacksaw. Why didn't you use like? I mean, obviously you're probably limited because you're
camping around the sticks.
Yeah. So you chose a saw that's intended for cutting metal.
Well, it was like one of the dudes had one of them like Swiss Army knives that just has like everything in it.
Oh, okay.
It was like, oh, it's got a little saw attachment.
Oh, right.
I was like, oh, that might work. And I used it for a little bit. I was like, this works really well.
Yeah, nice.
Because no scissors could obviously cut it.
No.
The place we stayed at, I even had a first aid kit that has like the proper like medical scissors.
Yeah, like surgical scissors.
Yeah. I guess I could have just used those to cut my leg off.
Yeah, but
I had the saw.
You had a Swiss Army knife, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even Swiss, so I don't know if I was allowed to use it or if that's illegal or whatever.
Was he Swiss?
I wouldn't want to make an assumption.
Okay, because like I believe under supervision you can.
No, they just left me. He gave me that and gave me a beer and was like, come inside when it's done.
It's like pain relief?
Yeah, that's kind of supervision though.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? I think the main reason, if I could put it down to a word, why I had to cut the cast off?
Beach.
Sludge.
Sludge. Yeah, your cast turned into the game that we are playing.
Oh, are we talking about sludge?
We're talking about sludge. Sludge war, some people call it.
Sludge war?
Sludge war.
Okay.
I don't know.
This just says sludge.
It does say sludge.
We're talking about sludge.
We're talking about sludge.
Tabletop miniatures game.
Yep. The game created by Sean. Is it Sutter or Sutter?
All right, you've been doing this all night.
S-U-T-T-E-R. I'm going to say the barbaric word of Sutter and assume it's right.
All right, so spell it again.
S-U-T-T-E-R.
Sutter.
Sutter. Yeah.
Sutter. Sutter.
Sutter.
Sutter.
I don't think he's Irish.
Sean
Sutter.
Irish? Yeah. Okay, Sutter. Yeah. Sure.
He did all the art for it, by the way, in the book too.
Oh, amazing. I didn't
Pretty
see
talented.
The book. He kept it away from me.
I mean, I gave it to you briefly.
So the context is we just played a game. Shane has been all over Sludge. You've played a couple, I believe, like games online, tabletop simulator.
Yeah, back with Vumu.
Yep. And you've been loving it ever since you had that experience.
Yep.
You've painted up almost three armies now.
Two and a fraction.
Two and a fraction.
Yep.
Yeah. Is the fraction 10 out of 10?
Huh?
What's the fraction of the third army you've painted?
Oh, about...
Sorry, that was a bad question. You don't know fractions.
20%.
It's about 5. Sorry, I set you up for that.
I don't deal in fractions. I only deal in decimals.
Yeah.
0.2.
Just convert it to a fraction.
0.2.
Only a One Sith fifth. Deals in absolutes.
You yep. did it.
Did he?
A fraction.
Oh, well done.
Maybe. So, yeah, we played Sludge.
Yeah, so, and then you taught me Sludge.
Yep. Taught.
Yeah, and that word is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
more so than I did preparing for this episode.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what I mean when I say you've been doing that all night. You're just like, now is it Sutter or Sutter asking me a question that there's no way I could know the answer to because it's the first time I'm discovering this information.
Yep.
You did that so many times during the game. You would ask me questions about the game you were teaching me.
Not like, they were more like rhetorical questions. It was.
You're like,
it
do, you reckon like... it, do you reckon it goes here or does it go over here? I was like,
No, hang on. You'll take that out of context. The question was, do I measure from the middle of the base or the edge of the base?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. Is it like every other war game we've ever played or is there an exception? And
well,
how would I know? How the fuck would I know? I don't know if it's Sutter, dude. How am I supposed to know that? I just got here.
You've been here for hours. When are you going to leave?
When you teach me the bloody rules.
All right.
Anyway, so there's probably people listening that are like, all right, I think I've heard Shane talk about Sludge. What exactly is it?
Yeah, what is it?
What is it?
You tell me what you think it is.
All right, I'll tell you what I think I know, which I think is probably more than you.
Debatable.
Only because I've never read the rule book, but apparently neither have you. So so I think Sludge is set in an alternate reality where it's sort of like, for whatever reason, around the Black Powder era.
Yep.
The Pike and Shot era. Is that the different
kind of
era?
Yeah. Anywhere it's, from like the late 1600s to like early 1900s.
Sure. Something happens.
Yep.
And now there's wizards.
Yeah, kind of. That's basically it. It sums it up.
Cool. All right, there you go.
That's the elevator Sludge. Pitch of the game, basically. Yep. It's like, imagine Napoleon and wizards.
And
the people are just like, yep, here's your contract.
How did the wizards get there? Where did the magic come from?
The magic comes from the life tree, which is like, in Norse mythology, there's like, I think it's called Yggdrasil. It's like the tree of life, right? The world is on this tree. And they have dug down and found the roots of the tree, right? And they've started like hacking at the roots because they're like, if we chew on this.
We need a root.
We get a root, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We chew on that.
Yeah. Chew on it, yeah. So they've managed to like somehow farm the, you know, the materials from the roots and they've used it to make like elixirs and sort of magical like wands and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And then they've started realizing the more they do that, the ground around them sort of starts to die.
Sure.
And it's kind of like, huh.
Two for one.
Yeah, it's like...
You get
like,
a cool wand and the ground's dead.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you get your... You can drive your car everywhere, but you're also polluting the environment.
Come on, man. No political statements here. You don't know. Maybe fossil fuels is good for the universe. maybe we're creating stars.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
You don't know, dude.
I actually don't know.
I don't know either, but probably, yeah, you're maybe. Right.
I don't know. Apparently. So they said for how many years now?
No,
since we're in primary school? Remember the hole in the ozone layer?
Oh, what happened to that? Someone plugged it up. With tree wands.
Yeah. So they've realized that like the more they hack at this at the life tree, the ground starts to die. But then like we use it for power, you know, it's like
yeah.
We get, but so basically to sum it all up, the world is dying and they're fighting over the last sort of bits of like fertile land.
Sure.
To grow crops and stuff like that. So
okay.
It's just it's like these little factions like clans almost just battling each other. Small nations.
And there's a lot of magic, but also like field guns and cavalry.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The magic is quite limited. It's not like fireball and, you know, that sort of stuff. It's more like the sorcerers deal in like visions of death and and stuff like that. And the arcanists are more like healing and kind of like enchanted weapons and things like that. So
And the what did we have? The little
The chaplains?
And the chaplains do nothing.
They are useless.
Just like real life.
Wow. Jesus. Take a shot at the Catholic Church.
Well, someone's got to.
Yeah, that is too good for too long.
They've been up on their high horse. And you know what, frankly, I've had enough.
So it kind of adds a bit of that fantasy element, but not like high fantasy. This is something we've spoken about quite a lot in the past of like low fantasy, high fantasy. It's definitely on the lower fantasy end.
Yeah.
It's not...
A little bit more Game of Thrones end of things.
Yeah.
We're like, there's visions, there's some magic.
Yeah, but it's not like really fantastical, you know, like elves and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool. So people can use miniatures. That's a great thing about this game that you've really loved.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a chance to use all those like Napoleonics.
Yep.
With some tweaking, like some cool sorcerer type and wizard miniatures.
Yep.
Blended together without sort of being bound to the very strict rules that a lot of historical Napoleonics has.
Oh,
this
man.
This person has to have this coat. This person has to be...
It's like we're playing a game set in 1756 and they didn't wear that color until 1758.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, like really nitty gritty historical kind of stuff.
And even like...
bypass all that.
Yeah. And that's cool. Because I find like a lot of people that play historicals don't care too much, but like when you're getting into it, you want your stuff to be accurate.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
that's
always been a barrier for us. But for this, you've always loved the idea, I feel like, of historicals and like using these cool Napoleonics, but hated being bound to and have to be so accurate. And also like finding good systems to play those in.
I've already said to Ollie that like, and I think he's in the same boat, like by the time we retire, we're both going to be deep into historical wargaming and have a whole room in a house dedicated to a model railway.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that old people shit.
Yeah.
You drink your Metamucil.
That's what I'm doing. Yep. And he's going to do the same thing.
That's cool. You guys can retire happy.
Yeah.
And fucking start your own podcast. See if I care. Guess I'll just play Star Wars.
Yeah, you nerd.
I'm the nerd.
I got all their podcast Rails and Redcoats.
Rails and Redcoats.
And Churchy's going to produce it.
You guys can rail each other as much as you want. I don't care.
You're just jealous.
Yeah. Just leave my Test of Honor miniatures here next time, why don't you? Don't take them with you. Or you can take the terrain, actually. Looking terrain. What are we talking about? Sludge.
Sludge.
Yeah. So... explain to the viewers and listeners how you play Sludge. Give them a general breadth of rules. And me too, because I feel like although we played for a few hours, I have no idea. So,
yeah, I didn't do a great job of teaching the rules.
No, you did fine. Tradition. Because you got your wife to print off a quick reference guide.
She's a gem.
Which taught me... actually, Caitlin taught me more about this game than you did.
Did she?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was teaching you. You're like, when do we do nerve tests? I was like, oh, I think... this says we do it, and then you had to go to the rule book, and you're like, oh, this line, this formation is a column, and I'm like, actually, it says all columns need to be in contact with two others. Like, oh, that makes sense. I think we learned together.
We did.
Obviously, it wasn't on you to know the entirety of the rules, because I will say, when you handed me this and the other chart, I was way more excited about this game than I've been in the past.
Oh, yeah?
Because what I wanted from this game, we've played so many great... simple games.
Yeah.
And simple games are great. One page rules.
Yep.
Five parsecs from home. Mm-hmm. Those kind of games where there's so much more outside of just the actual playing of the game.
Yep.
That, like, the list building is so nice and clean in OPR. You get them on the table quick, you play them quick. This was gritty.
Yep.
This had the kind of depth that I could only hope for.
Yeah, nice. Well,
and so I love that. When I saw charts and I saw... like there's short orders and long orders, and you get three actions, which is three shorts or one short and a long.
Yeah,
I was like, I love that. And then not only that, you've got your regular ones, but also like your commanders and officers and useless chaplains. They all have like their own unique orders as well.
Yep.
And then the gore mechanic is so cool. So anyway, the depth of the game straight up within the first turn, I was like, I can tell A, why you're hooked, and B, why I'm going to be hooked, because this was awesome.
Yeah, nice. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it, dude. One of the first things that I... Obviously, it's like one of the first things you experience in the game is the roll-off to determine who goes first. Mm-hmm. So straight away, there's a mechanic there where it's called unstoppable momentum, and you both roll off. And if you happen to roll a tie, you re-roll it.
Sure.
And the person that wins the re-roll goes twice.
Yeah, because typically it's alternating activations.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is also great. But you're saying, like, if you win that tie, you get to go two units. Yeah,
yeah. Before and that's so clutch. And, like, yeah, so, like, little things like that. Like, it's just, like, you can imagine a battle like this that's so, you know, so desperate and things like that. And that one little double activation.
Oh, yeah. That would be a game changer.
It could be. Really could be. You could position a unit, you know, cast one of your useless chaplain abilities on them to bless them or something to give them a plus one, and then activate that unit to do something.
Yeah, that's cool. That is very cool.
Yeah.
And also, like, especially in the later turns of the game, that could be almost a third of your army.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's going to, you know.
We played a pretty small game. That was 200 points each side.
Oh, it gets bigger.
Yeah. Great. So I think the standard that they seem to play is about 300 points.
Okay, cool.
I've built lists around that 250 sort of mark, but the beauty is you can just add a unit here and there.
Yeah, nice.
And the thing, though, is, like, the units are so cheap. Like, I mean, we saw how quickly the cavalry died.
Yeah.
But they're, like, 5 points per model.
Sure, okay.
And an extra 5 points to the whole unit to give them muskets.
Yeah.
To turn them into dragoons. You can give them another, for another 5 points, you can give them lances as well, which I think is like a bonus on charging or something.
Yeah.
And then there's the list building is very simple, but it can be quite dynamic. You can give a lot of your commanders and your basically character models or heroes, they call them, you can give them bodyguards.
Yeah.
Like 10 points each, which, as you saw, gives you like an extra 2 dice in the combat.
Yep.
And an extra wound overall.
So it's like a little bit of defensive and offensive buffs.
Yep.
Which is nice.
Yep.
So the list building, I remember when I was looking into Sludge, which I was looking into Sludge list building specifically because of how dope all the Medbury miniatures are.
Yeah. You were looking at the Viking guys, yeah, right?
And I was like, can I make Vikings work in this? Because it's a little bit of a mental gymnastics I was trying to play, because I'm like, how do my Vikings fit in the, like, Napoleonic era?
Mm.
Like, how do I make that work in my head?
Because you haven't, like, the range weapons are basically crossbows and muskets, right?
Yeah.
So the Vikings, I don't think, had any range weapons, or maybe they had bows.
They had crossbows.
Oh, they had crossbows?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
The Medbury miniatures had some, like, crossbow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of all right. So you can build around that, but... There is a difficult thing where you're looking at, like, one particular range of units.
Yeah.
And if you can't really cover all bases, it kind of...
There's no field guns for the Vikings.
No. You know? And they probably historically wouldn't have used anything like that. So I don't know what kind of siege weapons they would have used, but you could maybe find something and just use it as a counts as field gun.
Yeah, like a big... what's the big thing? It's called a ballista. Oh, a ballista? Or
yeah,
you can find one of those, put a bunch of Vikings on it. Because it is like... it's fantasy.
Yeah.
It's not historical. Yeah. Nah. So you could really throw it. But also, like, the Japanese force would be cool as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you could make a samurai-themed force with teppos.
Yeah.
Or what are they, arquebuses, whatever the Japanese called them.
Yeah.
There's cool. Lots of there. But like you said, there is a bit of mental gymnastics that you have to, like, you don't have to, but... I know you would, and I think most people would try and make it work.
Because it's tricky, because, like, we're so used to, although it's fantasy and it could definitely exist, and you could definitely make it work in a clean manner, you just be like, oh, there was a little piece of land that was a bit disconnected, that these Vikings, so they're a little bit behind on their, like, equipment or whatever.
Yep.
And so they've got cavalry, they've got bows, but they don't have any, like, field guns or anything like that. You don't have to bring a field gun.
Absolutely not. And, like, my field gun did nothing the whole game.
Yeah.
You landed a lucky shot at the end there.
Yeah. Well, one you paid to me because it was 1 inch away.
And we had to see some action.
Yeah. I like, in the list building, I feel like the core of this game is the line infantry.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the only requirements, is it? That you got to sort of bring, like, two groups. I can't remember how it works when I was reading it.
Yeah, so the line infantry, all the line infantry does is limit how many elites you can bring.
So
you have to have one unit of line infantry for every one unit of elites.
Yeah, that's great. It's nice, simple list building. It just means you can't, like, stack elites.
Spam.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, because elites are still, they're still cheap.
Yeah.
It's still 5 points per base or per model, whatever.
I love, too, the line infantry in this are multi-base. So you have some great-looking bases with all your dudes on it, and you don't remove them. They just take, when they take three wounds, the whole base is removed. So you can do some really cool, like, what do you call that? We make the bases look good.
Diorama?
Yeah, dioramic-type things. Yeah. On your little, like, they're smaller bases, but... Yeah.
40 mil bases.
Yeah, it's great.
They feel very small once you've packed three models on there.
Yeah.
Even these historical miniatures, which are, I guess, closer to true 28 mil than what a lot of people are used to, by the time you stick three to the base, it's like, whew, okay, some spots are hard to get your brush into. So.
Yeah, I feel that. That's why I think your Slapshot video on how to paint a sludge army quick on our second channel, Hobby Homie. I don't know how to say it. We're wearing a new podcast. link in the description below. Yeah, that was a great way to like pump those out.
Yeah.
And the contrast paints, like, you can get your dry brush in those spots and you can let the contrast paint sort of like run into those spots.
Yeah.
So they're a good way to do like the multi-bases. So that was a good strategic move from you.
Thanks, dude.
What I do like about this game is that it scratches a little bit of an itch that I didn't know we had. Like, Churchy and me, I think, both when we were playing this game, all we could hear was the ringing of muskets and the popping of field guns and the cannons just slinging across the battlefield.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a very cool thematic game.
Yeah.
And it felt like it played that theme well.
I think so too, like with the placing of the gore and the nerve tests that we're doing and stuff like that. Like, you can imagine like this, the what's going through these soldiers' minds as there's bits of their friends and their enemies laying around them and stuff like that. And I think my favorite moment was when you just like obliterated my unit of six Jaegers.
Yeah.
And there was one guy left.
Yeah.
And he went through to kill like two bases of your line infantry in melee with a bayonet.
He had to steady himself.
Yep.
And then he went in.
And he was just gutting these dudes.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yep.
I do like when your dragoons charged my dragoons, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a great battle. And you just obliterated them.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I returned fire with my line infantry, just a ringing of musket. The musket volleys are so strong.
Yeah.
I like how strong the line infantry are because they just have such an impact.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's the way it should be. If you've got 20 guys standing there with muskets.
Oh, yeah, dude.
They should be far more impactful. It should be
thundering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do. They cause shock as well.
Yeah.
There's a few like really impactful weapons that cause shock, which is like a negative to your morale test.
Yep.
And the musket volleys have that as well.
Yeah.
They've got lots of attacks. They're a good chance of hitting. When they do hit, you roll a hit a bunch of, you can do a bunch of wounds.
Yep.
Then when you do the wounds, like there's tons of gore that they spread.
Yep.
They're just thunder, like you say. Yeah. So they're very cool.
How did you think, so in the rules, it's Sean's written that he doesn't use pre-measuring.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he says, it's your game. You play with whatever you want to play with. So when straight up I was to you, I was like, no pre-measuring.
Yeah.
You're like, sweet.
Yeah, I love
that. Let's do this. Yeah. How did you, like, we're so used to games where you can really, really plan it out, right?
Yeah.
How did you find not being able to pre-measure?
I'll be honest. I feel like it didn't make an impact at all to the gaming experience because... I think it's much of a muchness. If you want to play this game and pre-measure or not, I really don't think the experience changes much at all. I didn't really even think about it, to be honest, because, you know, we've played for so long, you know what 3 inches is, and I know what...
Look at it every day.
Yeah, and I know what inches are too. So, you know, we can kind of go, all right, I'm going to move, and then I know I'm going to be well within the 12 inches I need to shoot at that thing.
Yeah.
And if I'm 50-50 on it, I'll just choose to go over here and do this thing.
Or do an extra move or.
So, I think it sped the game up because you don't then, like, measure to see if you can do it, then go, all right, cool, I can. Now I'll actually do it. So you pull out the measure and you move your people.
Or I can't. Okay, I'll do this instead.
Yeah.
So that's it. It does definitely does force you to make a decision.
Just make a decision and go for it. You take the most likely thing. And it just, I feel like it did cut out a heap of extra measuring.
I think so too.
Which is great.
Yeah.
What I do like, the field gun mechanic of measuring is incredible.
Oh, the guess range. The guess range. D10.
Yeah.
And so, then the bounce D10 as well.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so good. So, like, the field gun can just hit what it sees.
Yeah.
Kind of. You shoot at something, but you have to guess a range.
Yeah.
So, you got to go, all right, well, I think I'm going to guess a range, but you don't want to guess the range of how far you think the enemy is.
No. You want to fall short.
Because you got to roll a D10 and it's going to add that to whatever your guess range is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you go, I think they're about 24 inches away.
So I'm going to guess 18 and hope for a six on that D10 roll.
And then hopefully that lands on them.
Yep, yep.
And if it lands short or past, it can also then bounce.
Yeah. And even if it direct hits, it can bounce as well.
Oh, there you go.
So you can like clean up that front unit and then whatever's behind.
And then you roll another D10 and it bounces that far back.
Yeah, so you might get the commander as well. Or that's a chaplain cool. That's standing the wrong way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like that. That was a lot of fun.
Mm.
It's one of those things where it's like when it doesn't hit, you're just like, ah, well, whatever.
Yeah, we
took a lucky shot. And then when it does hit, it feels very rewarding.
Even though like our first exchange of fire from our field guns, we both missed.
Yeah.
But like, It was cool to imagine like that this shot has bounced past the troops.
Yeah.
And I think both times there was also someone behind.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, whoa, they dodged it too.
It bounced in front of someone and then went past two people or whatever.
Yeah.
And every time, that's all I could see in my head was just these massive, cannonballs whizzing past.
Yeah.
And it's what's great about it too is because you want your shot to land on a base.
Yep.
So you're encouraged to shoot at something with a larger footprint, which is how you probably play field guns anyway, on an actual battlefield.
Yeah, you'd be shooting at line infantry.
That's right. You're not going to shoot at one person out there because you never hit them.
Nah.
Although I did.
You did.
I did aim at a single based person and you paid it.
It was 1 inch.
Well, what's 1 inch?
Right.
Basically doesn't exist.
Nah.
So, yeah, it was good fun. I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. I can see why you have painted up 2 and a 5th armies.
Yep. We didn't play with objectives. We played just to straight up kill each other.
I assumed because you never mentioned anything.
Oh, the objective was to have a sorcerer.
Oh, yeah. I liked how you gave yourself one of those. Who could cast... You're like, oh, I'm going to cast Horrors of the War. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Can't wait to do that. You're like, oh, no, yours is a chaplain.
Yeah.
I'm like, what can it do? You're like, oh, it's a bit of a medic. It can heal gore and stuff. And
then, oh, wait. No,
and then you're like, oh, wait, no, I can't heal gore. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it kind of sucks. in the rule book, there is, I think it's like 5 different missions. It's got like options to like roll randomly.
Great.
So, and the objectives, it looks pretty, it's pretty straightforward, but it's kind of basic, but looks like fun. So I think next time we play, we'll throw some of them in there as well. And
that's cool.
Maybe film a battle report or something.
Heck yes. Let us know in the comments or however you interact with us if you would like to see more Sludge content.
Yeah.
Have you played it? Have you been interested in it? Is it something that you want more information on? You're like, oh, sounds great, but does it do this? Ask him and he'll maybe one day read the rule book and let you know.
I'll read your comment, then read the rule book and then reply.
Yes. Yep. There you go. That's a Hobby Homies guarantee right there. If I've ever heard one. Free delivery and everything.
If you want to get the rules, you can buy the Blaster magazine, which comes with a few other games as well. There is 2 editions, Volume 3 and Volume 4, both contain rules for Sludge.
Awesome.
You can also buy on Wargame Vault using our affiliate link in the description.
You're so proud of that plug.
Like, that was a cold email and it paid out for us.
Yeah.
And you can buy, I think it's like they're both combined in the one book. It's like $10.
So, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
So you can get that as well. If you're just like, I just want Sludge.
Yep.
You can get all the stuff that came in the blasters in one book.
Yep. Or you can go to Relic Blade Studios is Sean's website where he makes other games as well, like Relic Blade.
Oh, Relic Blade.
And another one, and he's got a new one. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head.
Sure.
So it's about flying carpets, I think.
Wow.
It's like Aladdin, but combat.
Aladdin.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Interesting.
Looks very cool.
It sounds like he has progressively smoked more and more pot through his creation of games. You know, Relic Blade, I assume, maybe some generic fantasy stuff. Possibly based purely on the name and no other information. And then he's dived into like sludge.
Yep.
Napoleonics meets wizards.
Yep.
And then he's like, now he's full magic carpet.
He might even be in California. And I think the weed is getting pretty good over there.
There you go. I can't wait. You know what? It's the next title I'm the most interested in.
Yeah. What honestly comes
What's
next?
What's after Magic Carpets?
I don't even know.
And what models do you use?
I don't know. The choice is yours.
The choice is yours. Anyway. The
choice is Sean's.
Imagine full-scale wargaming.
Yep.
Six by five tables. Magic Carpets.
Magic Carpets.
Like, you cannot... Magic Carp sounds like Magic Carpets. Think about that for a sec. While just we thank our patrons. Make you think.
Massive shout out to our patrons. For $2 a month, you can get early access to videos like this, videos on our second channel as well.
As we mentioned, Shane has a 45-minute expose into how to paint a sludge army.
We were aiming for 12 minutes.
Yeah, well, you got the realm.
We overshot it.
Yeah, just like that field gun, man. You rolled a D10,
D10.
And added 30 minutes.
Yep. Hey, we went for depth.
Short-form comment. Short-form content. Not our specialty.
No, short film turned long form. Massive shout out to our patrons. As always, we have the GOATs. We have Burnsy, Final Dinosaur, Gridlock, Axe, Annex, MJ, Test Dummy, Black Apollo, and Journeyman.
We've also got Brandon W, OG homies, by the way. Brandon W, Moose, Elko, Churchy, thanks Churchy, Rad, Ollie, Hawkers, Pinny, Agro, Don Juan, Von Publum, Jackson V, Fatboy, Kevin H, Nathan A, Mini Walmart, and...
Big Roach.
You're all amazing. You send us money. We use that money to give Churchy money. Churchy uses that money to keep his beard shaped.
Oh,
and that costs thousands. So he's in the red. Yeah. And we need to support that.
Need to get back into the green.
Get your friends to sign up because his beard is unkempt and out of control.
It's true, it is. It's pretty bad.
I like it. It looks good. Where do you get it done?
His bathroom. Yeah.
I got a saw blade you can use. We'll see you next week.
Herbert. Big up to the boys, Fox and Shane. Set your minds free, no locks and chains. Do what you love, roll the dice. 50-50, we cold as ice.